Survival of the fakest. It's very interesting that in the history of the evolution of evolution, there have been a number of hoaxes, some of them in the very foundations of evolutionary so-called science, to the point where you really wonder how any intelligent person could really continue to believe this and especially teach it to wide-eyed, bushy-tailed kids, whether in the high school or the university level. My name is Howard Davis. Welcome back to Tomorrow Television. We are talking on this program about evolution as a religion. We're talking with a university instructor in chemistry with hundreds of students and a bunch of TAs constantly helping students understand the principles of science. These are usually chemistry majors, and you're with a major university in the United States, but have come to disbelieve passionately in the theory of evolution, right, Arnold Mendez?
That's correct, Howard.
Why do you say that Darwin's theory of evolution really is a big joke?
Well, it's a big joke because it's based on a lot of fraud and a lot of things that are not correct.
That would make people laugh if they were really...
It would make...
Or cry.
The problem is that lay people don't realize the gravity of how Darwin's theory is based on some of these principles that are really just fakes.
Laughable.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, talk about them.
Well, there's a couple that come to mind. One is Haeckel's embryos. Haeckel's embryos was a concept that was brought forth back in the 1860s by Ernest Haeckel. He was a German biologist, and he believed that the embryonic transitions of embryos as they develop from the egg to birth, that this embryonic transition, the development of the embryo, recapitulated or resummarized the evolutionary history.
So that these little embryos turning into something look like fish, then something like a human into a little teeny weird-looking baby, then a full baby, that this is sort of in the womb an entire history of millions of years of development or maybe a billion years of development of evolution, right?
That's correct. Ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny.
It's a lot of big words for baloney.
Okay, what it means is ontogeny is the fetal development. Phylogeny is the evolutionary development. So the evolutionary development was summarized or reformatted or represented in the embryonic state. Mm. And really what Haeckel did is he faked these drawings. He showed salamanders, chickens, he showed dogs, he showed pigs, he showed humans, and he showed them at a certain embryonic development state. And he showed these wood carvings, at the time there were wood carvings back in the 1860s, that seemed very similar. And in reality, no one ever took the trouble or the effort to really see if the embryos really look like that.
It's as if, for the believing public of the time, he had taken pictures of all these embryos, right?
Right.
Of all these species and laid them out in a gestational sort of timeline,
right,
equivalent to one another, saying, oh, look, we're just like a pig.
Right.
Humans are just like a pig.
Right.
Now, if you were to look at them, what was wrong with the drawings?
Well, what was wrong with the drawing was that they actually didn't show the embryonic state at that particular time for that particular organism. The embryonic state for the, for example, for the chickens did not look anything like the embryonic state for the humans at that point in time. In other words, he
it would disprove his theory.
Yes. In other words, his theory says that they're very similar, and in reality, they're not.
And he made them up in the first place.
Yes. As a matter of fact, at the time they were published a few years later, many of the German scientists took him to task for publishing them. And the interesting thing about this, Howard, is that recently, back in the late 1900s, late 1990s, there were several scientists that verified that these drawings were not correct and didn't actually show the embryonic state. So it has been known.
When I took this class in high school, and yes, I saw these embryos, and this is called comparative embryology proves evolution.
Correct.
Then it was understood by us that all of these particular Haeckel's embryos proved that we were related, and therefore we have to all have come from the same origin. This is continued for 100 years as a known fraud at the intellectual level, passed on through university and high school texts, and it's always been a fraud.
Yes, it was known to be a fraud right after they were published.
Is this still being used?
Yes, they are. Matter of fact, I have some textbooks in my office that I could take down off my shelf, open them up, and show you basic Haeckel drawings and show you how the caption says that embryology supports evolution.
Even today, we're feeding our kids this baloney.
Correct.
What other assumptions did Darwin make? Didn't he sort of believe that he would find a lot of fossils that never did turn up?
Yes, he did. Darwin understood that if the theory of evolution was correct, if the theory he was proposing was correct, then there was going to be a transitional link between all the fossils. In other words, as things went from more simple to more complex, these transitional fossils would exist. The gaps would be filled. He believed that the problem was that the fossil record or the geological record was imperfect. They hadn't done enough fossil digging and they hadn't discovered enough fossils. We now know that the fossil record is just about complete and the gaps still exist. This is one of the paleontology's biggest secrets.
Now, paleontology is the study of old stuff,
right?
Old junk in the ground.
Right.
Today it's sort of other ages garbage.
Right.
Stuff that died.
Paleo means study of old things.
Yeah, old things. One of its biggest problems is that it didn't find these links.
It didn't find these fossil links. The fossil links do not exist. Darwin said that the fossil links did not exist. He understood they did not exist. He said that they would be found out later. We now are at the later time period, and they still haven't been found.
And he did really assert that his validity for the whole theory was based on eventually finding these links.
Yes.
And they weren't found.
They haven't been
found. So this is part of his joke.
Yes, and scientists are really at the point in time where many of them are saying, we're never going to find them.
They've got to create another way to explain the universe without Darwin.
Right.
They explain it without God, now they got to explain it without Darwin. Very interesting process. Let's talk about the genetic science. Didn't he not know too much about genetics and therefore rejected it?
Well, Darwin did some studies, some genetic studies, but he did some genetic studies among species without going outside of the species. In order for evolution to work, there has to be changes within genera or genuses. Genus has to change. In other words, we have to have changes beyond the species level. Things have to change in a big way. They don't do that. The studies of Mendel, for example, back in the 1800s. He was a contemporary of Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
His work was suppressed because it did not agree with evolutionary philosophy. Now, what Mendel discovered was that if you take a red pea flower and a white pea flower, and you cross them, you will get a pink pea flower or a white pea flower or a red pea flower or certain ratios. He discovered that things change, but then that there's a limit to how much they can change. So he discovered that there is a boundary to how much change can take place.
So there's variety within a specific species of a plant, a pea, a piece of corn, or whatever. There's a variety you get within it, but like in animals, a dog isn't going to turn into a mouse.
Nope.
And the cat's not going to become a pig.
Nope.
And this just never was observed. And there are genetic laws about why.
Right. And a matter of fact, if you get near the genetic boundary that nature or God imposes, sterilization takes place. In other words, you take a stallion and you mate the stallion to a donkey, you get a mule.
Now,
a mule is sterile.
These kinds of then true scientists that really formulated their ideas based on hard evidence, in other words, studying very carefully what's there in reality, like Mendel, he would confirm exactly what is in Genesis 1 about the nature of biological life, that it's all made after its kind, correct?
Yeah.
As opposed to evolution, which says that things aren't made after their kind. It just given enough time, it will all change into whatever. A slime 4 billion years ago will turn into a human being at the life end of the life form because of survival of this. When, look, slime to me, it always dies. It never turns into a human being.
Well, the thing you have to remember, and you hit on a very good point here, and something that, let me kind of talk about this a little bit. The scriptures say that in the book of Genesis, in chapter 1, the creation week, that kind brings forth kind.
Right.
The sea creatures brought forth sea creatures. The flying creatures brought forth flying creatures. Things reproduced after themselves. Mendel and his laws of genetics, formulated in 1860, said that pea flowers, bring forth pea flowers. So kind brings forth kind. Darwin said that things can bring forth other things besides their kind, given enough time. So Darwin was violating the law of Mendel and Mendel's heredity, Mendel's laws about heredity, the scriptures in Genesis chapter 1 are in complete agreement with him. So science agrees with the first book of Genesis.
Or the hard science,
yes.
Observable science,
yes.
Not this science of evolution that really is a form of a faith in a religion.
That's a philosophy. I like to term it a philosophy or a faith. But you're correct. Evolutionary science is not based on hard fact. If evolutionary science was based on hard fact, they would have to admit that there is no change in other than small variety changes, and that the dog can never become a cat, and the cat can never become a hippopotamus.
We have a wonderful publication called Creation or Evolution? Does it really matter what you believe? And what are you going to base your belief on, facts or fictions? The facts are in the ground, in the nature of biology and the universe you see, that evolution cannot be supported at all with intellectual honesty. But why can you say that? Well, this publication makes it very clear in an easy to read way. This is for intelligent folks that have a seventh grade education and up, but it's not really hard to grasp. The case against evolution, the many simple principles now that are scientifically being raised that prove that it is a flawed and essentially wrong doctrine. What does the fossil record show? The nature of the human body cannot be explained by evolution. The miracle of the eye, blood clotting, the biological mineral, the problems with the faked moths. It's a fascinating story. Those moths that you learn in biology in high school, they were pinned to the tree, and they actually disproved the theory of evolution. It is now apparent animal oddities that defy evolution, aspects of the nature of the universe, and the kind of choices, once you learn the facts, that you've got to make about what you're going to believe. It's all in here free of charge. Do also ask for your free subscription to The Good News, which deals with these kinds of issues all the time that are both personal and general. This issue dealt with after Iraq, what next, the global trends associated with the global problem of terrorism. Just simply call the 800 number, and also you can go online to tomorrowonline.org, where you could actually see this television program, or you can order the literature.